Turn with me, please, over to Hebrews chapter 10 and follow along at verse 1. Hebrews 10 and verse 1. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins? But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, "Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written, to do your will, O God." After saying above sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law, then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them," he then says, "and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place. And through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what you have written so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. Our needs are as unique as we are. But we've come today to hear from you. And the only way we can do that is through your word. So may we handle it accurately and communicate it clearly. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may remember, the law was designed to be temporary and preparatory. The law is not bad. The law should not be ignored. The law was necessary. It served a purpose, but it was temporary. And it was preparatory. There is an old covenant that God made with Israel. There is now a new covenant that God has made with the whole world. The first was designed to prepare us for the second. Now, as we finished chapter 9 last week, we were excited to see that along with death, yes, comes judgment, but at that judgment, Jesus will be present. And the writer of Hebrews says, without reference to sin. Now, how can that be? Now, no one objected immediately, but surely someone along the line thought, but what about 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul speaks of the believer sitting in judgment? In what and for what? Well, there in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we have consequences, but not judgment. The question there is, what have you done with your salvation? The question there is not, are you saved? The question there is not, do you have sins yet that need to be covered? Do you have sins that need to be sacrificed for yet? No, 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 no. That's all taken care of in the finished work of Christ. And you're recognizing Him as Savior and as Lord. But yes, we will have to answer for the choices that we've made and the consequences that are the results thereof. And Paul describes them in two different ways. Some of the choices that you and I have made reflect in God's mind and in precious stones and precious metals that are designed to last. And they're a part of the offering, the thankfulness that we reflect to God for all that He allowed us to accomplish. But most of us, many of us like me, have also created a whole lot of wood, hay, and stubble. We've done a lot, but it wasn't designed to last for long. And it will be consumed. Whoosh, gone. But at no point is there a question about sin and whether sin still needs to be dealt with in your life. Why? Well, that brings us here to chapter 10 and verse 1 and two promises. Two promises that we have in Christ. The first one, verses 1 through 10, we have been sanctified. Now, that's a fancy word. And it's deep and it's wide. But basically what it means is, Paul said, I no longer belong to myself, I belong to Christ. I am His. That's what sanctified means. I belong to somebody else. I am His. I am one of His children. I belong to Him. And I am becoming, it reflects then that process of becoming more and more like Him. When babies are born, she looks just like her mother. He looks just like his father. Yeah, right. But as they grow older, yeah, more and more, she looks like a mother. He looks like his father. Why? They spend time together for one thing, and it's kind of how they were made. That's what sanctified means. We've become a child of God. And the more we learn from him, the more we grow in him, we start to look more and more like him. That's being sanctified. Why? Well, verse 4 says it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. See, that's what separates us. That's the problem. Sin has marred us. Sin needs to be dealt with. Temporarily, to prepare us and the world for the sacrifice, God initiated this plan of sacrifice, first in the tabernacle and then in the temple, to prove over and over, and this is emphasized in our passage this morning, prove over and over again that the wages of sin is death. And the only sacrifice for sin is blood. over and over and over again. It never actually took away the sins. The answer, verse 7, first in the Psalms, but then later in the words of Jesus, I have come to do your will. Jesus told his disciples in John 6, I have come to do the will of the Father. That's what motivated him. He came to work out the Father's solution to the ineffectiveness of the blood of bulls and goats. This brings us then to verse 10 and this truth that we have been sanctified. Verse 10 says, by this will, Jesus coming and doing the will of the Father, by this will we have been sanctified. Now that's an interesting phrase. We have been sanctified. Now, let me use myself as an example. Do I look very sanctified to you? Not ultimately. I'm a little further than I was. Not where I need to be, should be, could be, will be. I'm in process. And the writer will refer to that in just a little bit. But in God's mind, it's already done. There's a contemporary tune out there, and a phrase in it says, you're already there. There are challenges that I'm dealing with, that I'm going through, that I'm struggling with. But Father, you're already there. You're already at the end of it. You know where this is going. And you're already there. In God's mind, as the eternal Father, we're already there. It's already done, as far as He's concerned. We've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. He is that sacrifice. What bulls and goats could not do, He did. The blood of bulls and goats was an act of obedience. It was what God required at the time. But to deal with sin eternally, finally, fully, completely, took the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's how it comes about. And then notice he says once. Again, the writer of Hebrews reminds us that when Jesus was done, he sat down. There are no chairs. There were no chairs in the tabernacle. There were no chairs in the temple because the priest was never done. If he was there, he was on his feet, he was working. He never sat down. But Jesus did it once, and here it is, for all. We have been sanctified. And for those of us who have recognized Jesus as Savior and Lord in the mind of God, it is already done. We have been sanctified. Secondly, our sins and lawless deeds, He will remember no more. Now that's key to properly understanding verses 27 and 28 of chapter 9, right? You see, it would be just like me to bring up an old hurt if I thought it would serve my purpose. Scripture says more than once that God doesn't do that. God never says to you or to me about sin that is covered, you remember the time when? Doesn't do it. Our sins and lawless deeds he will remember no more. The same sacrifices can never take away sins. That was the problem. It had to be done over and over and over again because it never finally dealt with sin. But verse 12 says, he having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down because it is finished. That's why we refer to the finished work of Christ. The book of Hebrews and Peter also refers to, however, the caveat to all of this. We speak in terms of the finished work of Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. But Scripture also speaks of those times when you and I don't look like a child of God. And what happens? Jesus, as our advocate, our defender, our lawyer, has to hop up, face the Father, and say, he doesn't look like one of ours, but he is. Defends us, claims us, waiting for us to confess and claim the forgiveness that he promises. So to that extent, he's not done because some of us keep him busier than others. But the sin is taken care of. The sin is covered. He's not hopping up needing to make one more sacrifice for one more sin. One more sinner's gone too far. He did it, verse 14, by one offering. He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Your Bible doesn't say that, does it? I added that word, being. Paul is using a language that gives him the ability, in context, to remind us that for you and me, we're in process. We are being sanctified. That's what you and I see in each other, growing in Christ. Not where we were, not where we will be, where we are in Christ, but becoming more and more like Him. We are being sanctified. Yes, it's all done in the mind of God, and it will happen, but right now, here, we're growing, we're being sanctified. Did you catch that definition that the writer put in here? He has perfected for all time. That's what sanctified means. Perfecting us, making us into who we're supposed to be. And who does that? Well, verses 15 and 16 tell us that it's the Holy Spirit. That's a part of what he does. I will put my laws upon their heart. I thought we were done with the law. No, we weren't. Not to earn credit, not to endear ourselves to God, not in hopes that he'll look over our sin. No. But he does put, law is still there. Jesus broke the Ten Commandments into two. Love God with all you are and all you have, and love one another. The first four deal with our love for God. The next six deal with our love for one another. You can't lie to one another. You can't steal. You can't be unfaithful. You can't do any of those things. You can't covet. You can't do any of those things if you love someone. So love God with all that you have and all that you are, and love one another. Where did that come from? Well, God wrote that on your heart. When you think in terms of how much he has loved you, what else do you think would be showing in his kids? but their love for him and their love for one another. I'll put my laws upon their heart, and their sins, there it is, I will remember no more. He never brings it up again. You and I, okay, I can do that. In the midst of an argument, trying to make a point, and it's usually when my points are really, really weak, I'll take a shot and remind somebody of when they hurt me. God doesn't do that. It's forgiven and forgotten. Our sin has been dealt with. What is the result? Verse 18, forgiveness. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. If you're a child of God, there are no offerings that we make for sin. Do we sin? I do. And if you're honest, you do. What do? Sacrifice an animal? No. Confess. Agree with God, that was wrong. That violates my connection to you, doesn't it? That doesn't really look like something you would do or that you would want me to do. And in many cases, it clearly violates your word, what you've called me to do, called me to be. So I agree with God. I confess it. And I do a 180, repent. I'm going to go in the other direction. And he forgives. Why? Because of the finished work of Christ. No more sin, no more sacrifices. That was all covered. I'm forgiven. I wonder sometimes how many times I've gone to my Heavenly Father and confessed something, and whether he says it out loud or just thinks it, wonders why it took you so long. I've been working on you. The Holy Spirit's been working on you. I've been waiting to forgive you. I want to forgive you. Why did it take you so long? I love you. Forgiven. What the law could not do, Jesus did. The Father promised. That's the Old Testament. Started in Genesis 3. He promised Adam. So he promised directly and through the prophets. He promised a Redeemer, a Savior. He promised that he would provide it. That's why those who are really paying attention, and why we should be able to see it very clearly, our Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. Because only God could pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world. Only God could do that. But God can't die. So it took Mary's boy, Jesus. And that combination, unique, one of a kind, God-man, fits perfectly the description of the prophets who referred to him as the Christ, the Redeemer, the Messiah. Our Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. So what the law could not do, Jesus did. The Father promised, Old Testament. The Son delivered, New Testament. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we have handled it accurately, communicated it clearly, so that you could challenge those of us who need to be challenged, which is most of us, and encourage those of us who need to be encouraged. We're moving in the right direction. And that's most of us. Thank you for your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.